Hello and welcome to another episode of How Are You Holding Up? A mental health podcast by the depressed for the depressed. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lindsay.
And the first question I want to ask is, Lindsay, how are you holding up?
Well, I'm a little bit frustrated right now.
Yeah. Me too.
But I feel like some congratulations are in order because...
Yes, as of like 3 days ago, I got my dog. And she's a sweetheart. Her name is Bonnie. She's in the room as we record this podcast. So if you hear dog noises in the background, do please try to forgive us because, you know, dog.
But back to your question on how am I holding up? I was thinking about our topics today, and I thought it was really interesting that when you're not in a depression, it's hard to recall exactly how saturated you feel when you're depressed. And so I had to listen back into some of my journals because I record and to remember. And I had talked to some people who I've spoken to before whilst being depressed to remind myself of the thoughts that I've had. And Chris, how are you holding up?
Well, going back to work on projects that I cannot discuss again, which is nice. It's good to be in work. As you mentioned, when you're not depressed, it is kind of difficult to recall how those thoughts and feelings are, especially when you've got, you know, a dog now. And those of you who listened to last week's episode will know that, dogs are very helpful.
They are.
But, yeah, in particular, this week's topic, we have a bit of a trigger warning that we're going to have to give. If the episode title didn't give you enough indication, we are going to be talking about our fears, our thoughts, especially when we are particularly weighed down by depression. Things that you, who may or may not be associated with someone who's depressed, or may not be depressed at all, things that you could do to help those of us who are in that downward spiral where all of our thoughts are our enemies and the idea of even potentially crawling out of such a depression is foreign, let alone impossible to comprehend. So, you've been thoroughly warned.
And once again, we are not professionals. We are just having a conversation with each other and with you, and hopefully it's a little bit of light for you if you're in a dark place, and a little bit of knowledge for those of you who would like to know more.
Absolutely. So, Lindsay, would you like to start us off with...
Talking about some fears?
Yeah, because you actually have a pretty extensive set of notes, as well as you actually journal, which I am absolutely garbage at.
Well, I actually journal with voice recordings, and one of the reasons why I have those is because my sister lives in another country, so I send her a lot of, you know, voice messages. It's easier than writing it out. Sure. And so it's almost like having a journal and that with two. So I'll keep some of the more intense ones, which can be traumatic to listen to. Mm-hmm. So starting with some fears, I think the biggest thing for me is, which we've spoken about, I think, each episode, is never feeling like you will ever be happy again. And whilst being in that mode, I feel like I've never been happy. Mm-hmm. And I think to some people, yeah, that sounds dramatic or over the top. But if you truly are depressed and you're feeling right now like, I'm not happy, I've never been happy, and you try to think of those memories of things that should make you happy and they don't give you any sort of feeling, it is really horrible and super scary.
I took the words right out of my mouth. It's the same. I mean, the best way that I can kind of summarize it to anybody who's never been through that is when you have a cold and you feel so crappy, especially when you're lying on your side. Yeah. I sleep on my side. I don't know about you, but when I sleep on my side, that one nostril you can't breathe through, like you just can't. You want to breathe through it so bad, but it doesn't matter. It's just mucus and crap that's all up in there, preventing you from having any any relief. It's that, but with the idea of feeling good. For me, it's always of, I will never be better.
Yeah.
I will never come up from this. I can't feel better because, and this is always the worst part for me, at least, I am doing this to myself. I am willingly, in my mind at least, I feel like I am willingly pushing myself deeper and deeper into that hate hole that I cannot dig myself out of. It's pulling mud in, if anything.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's, I think it's just difficult when you're in the mode of, because your brain isn't working normally. Your brain is not connecting to memories the right way. Your emotions are muted, if at all. And I think that's why a lot of the time when I'm depressed, I have really awful thoughts. And I would say that everyone I've talked to who's had some sort of depression has had suicidal thoughts. And for me, it's not necessarily so much as I'm going to commit suicide. It's almost like an escapism. It's almost like if I can feel anything, right? So I'm going to think about killing myself and how would that affect people? And well, I'm just going, and it's really negative and it's obviously a terrible thing to do. It affects so many people. And I am a firm believer in trying to sludge through and, you know, for yourself as well as all the opportunities you could have. But it's definitely a way that I try to, like, it's like this casual suicidal thoughts. It's just so fucked up.
I mean, that's the only way to really put suicide in any capacity. It's fucked up. We've both personally been touched by suicide too.
Yes.
On top of it, yeah. Where, you know, it's impossible to describe those kinds of feelings that you go through when you are feeling that way, unless you've been there.
Yeah.
And with so many people lately, and high profile suicides especially, it's been incredibly difficult and important to discuss it without the stigma that usually comes with it. It's
I think so.
Especially considering, like, you know, we get so many of these people like Anthony Bourdain and Robin Williams, yeah. And they've been through the ringer on such a level that we can't really even comprehend sometimes.
And look, nobody wants to feel depressed. Nobody wants to feel this way. It's embarrassing. It embarrasses me. It embarrasses me that I go through these depressions, that I feel I'm basically going to a mode where I'm incapable of doing a lot, and the things I do are exhausting to me, and I don't get a sense of accomplishment. That's something that happens to me, is I can clean my room, and I can send out for applications, and I can do this and that, and I don't feel any kind of accomplishment. If you lose your sense of happiness and accomplishment and attachment to people, of course you're going to have those thoughts. So another fear that I have is that I'm wasting my life being depressed. That it's just like, great, I have one life, unless you believe in reincarnation, mm-hmm. and I am spending it warring with myself and my feelings. And why can't I just enjoy myself? Why can't I just have fun? I was reading this Facebook writing that I had done years ago. I was with my sister, who I'm very close to and I love very much. She had just had a new baby, and I was going up there to help her. And I went through one of the worst depressions of my life, and I just couldn't. I remember laying in my bed and feeling awful and so guilty. I had so much guilt because I didn't feel happy for them, and I didn't feel connected or close to them, and I didn't feel any love for any of them, which is crazy because I have a lot of love for my family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a numbing thing. What about you?
It's actually interesting you bring that up, because one of the things I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about your expectations? When you get into that kind of a depression, where do your expectations lie on everything? Like life, friendship, do they feel like they are at a level that they would normally be at? Like, do you expect better of people, or do you expect the worst constantly?
Oh, my expectations of people, or
well,
myself,
of yourself or? And situations.
Okay.
Like general expectations.
I think at this point now I'm getting better. Because before I didn't know when I was going through depressions, I just would be bad. So at that time, I think everything got heightened. Mm-hmm. It was a heightened sense of like, I'd look at myself and I was like, wow, cool. So I'm a fat fuck and I'm hideous. And I used to be so thin and beautiful in high school. And now I've gained all this weight and I'm completely unattractive. And my ex-boyfriend said that I was overweight. So obviously that's true, that nobody will ever find me attractive. And I should exercise all the time. I should exercise right now. I should be exercising for hours. What's wrong with me? I'm just laying here. I hate myself. Like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm not depressed, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could probably start exercising once a day and that would be good. And that's my thought and it goes away. And like, either I start exercising or I don't. But I don't lay and saturate myself with it.
My expectations are so abysmal that I can't even begin to think about, like, oh yeah, I could get up, I could make myself a salad, or I could get up, I could take a shower, I could brush my teeth, I could comb my hair. Oh, my hair that I haven't washed in like a week. At this point, the concept alone of being a responsible, capable human being is so alien to me. I don't know what to think of it. It's just ridiculous. You want me to what? That coincides. That thought pattern coincides so well with my follow-up thought. I can't do anything right. Mm. It is an overwhelming sense of failure and the fear of failure that prevents me from acting at that point where go and brush your teeth. I've already got cavities.
Yeah, I hear that.
I should just go and get my teeth all taken out of all and just replace them with dentures. I'll be happy then. I don't have to brush those.
I think
that's a lie. You have to brush dentures.
Yes, you do. I think it depends on what kind of depression you're in too.
That's a good point.
Because there's been depressions where I don't even think about expectations. Mm. It's almost like you said, you become an alien, and it's not like you're a human doing human things and having human needs like basic things like eating and hydrating and bathing. and then there's depressions where it's very sharp and painful and there's a lot of crying. Mm-hmm. But what I notice with everything and all the depressions is fuzzy brain. I get a fuzzy brain and I can't focus. But there'll be like different thoughts that kind of come in, hurt me, and then drift off into the ether, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel trapped. I don't think it's a fear of being trapped. Well, yeah, it is a fear of being trapped in a cycle of, even if someday I will be happy, then I will be depressed again after that. And I will never be able to accomplish anything because I am so stuck within myself and my brain and my chemistry or whatever. I am trapped.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talked about that the first episode with my, just my weight, where I'm like, the cycle of, you lost weight, now you're fat. You lost weight, now you're fat. You lost weight, you're going to be fat again. Just embrace it. Just go and be fat.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, depression.
Yeah, I know,
right?
Here's
a reminder, if right now you're feeling low, that it's a lie, that depression lies to you. And when you feel unlovable and when you feel ungood.
You're going to feel so
you
distinctly
feel again.
A feeling that you don't deserve affection.
Yeah.
You don't deserve friendship. You don't deserve love. I mean, that's setting the bar really high at that point.
Yeah.
But those are, like, go quote some Dune here, fear may be the mind killer, but my God, it's got nothing on sadness and despair.
I think on that, compounding on that is, yeah, how can I possibly ever be a good partner or love somebody or be lovable if I'm somebody who goes through depression? Mm-hmm. It's exhausting for me. How exhausting for a person who doesn't have depression, having to take care of me.
Having to sit there and constantly babysit us.
Yeah, and seeing that, like, cool, I made this beautiful dinner for you, and I can tell that you don't feel anything and you feel pressured to pretend like you're happy, but I know you well enough to know that you are depressed.
Well, see, there's the funny thing about that particular thought pattern is that's not even a guaranteed what they're thinking. That's what we think they're thinking.
Exactly. No, this is the thing. This is the depression.
Mm-hmm. That is 100% the depression talking at that point where you go, they are definitely seeing how down I am, and they are seeing how absolutely ungrateful I am.
Yeah.
It's hardly the case.
It's that negative pattern of mind reading. We don't know what other people think, but for whatever reason, we decide that we know that they don't like us and they're annoyed by us and that we're the worst and they think that.
Yeah, which could be completely and totally untrue. There is, of course, the possibility, it's a rare possibility, that you are with somebody who is thinking those things. Those are shit people, though.
Or just bad partners for you. Because I've known people who just have never been touched by depression in their life with anybody, like a family member, etc. And they've never had it. So it's very difficult for them to have any empathy towards it. It's, you know, the personality, they're a shit person. But, you know, I'm not saying that they're a shit person. But if they were to be a shit person.
I'm definitely being a little less diplomatic. But that's, I'm afraid that's the position I usually take. I'm very diplomatic when it needs to be, and the rest of the time I'm like, no, they're a shit person.
They're garbage.
No, it's dealing with toxic people is another podcast in and of itself. But let me just say this, that when it comes to comforting and supporting someone who is going through depression, and I know that those of you out there who have depression can wholeheartedly relate to this. Of course, there are different things that can be said. There are different things that can be done. Some people need to be hugged. Some people need to never be touched. Some people need comforting words. Some people think that all those words are lies. It is a case-by-case basis. I know that for me, I am a very tactile person. The best thing that can be ever done for me when I am in such a downward spiral is give me a hug, tell me it's going to be okay. Like that is the bare minimum that I need to be okay. And being, you know, being single, it's difficult to kind of get that. Sure, friends occasionally can do that, but being with somebody long term that you love and you trust and you get a sense that they actually do understand and they do know what you're feeling. And just that thought pattern is enough to introduce, it's a tiny little anti-depression virus that spreads.
That's a nice way of saying that. Yeah.
It's an anti-depression virus. It just spreads through your brain waves going, you're not a shit person. This person loves you. You're not as bad as you think you are. I think that's ultimately what it culminates into is you're not as bad as you think you are.
You're in the storm. They're on the outside of it. It kind of reminds you of that.
Mm-hmm. It's seeing the island on the other end of the eye of the storm. Just, it's okay. You can make it through this.
I think something to remind yourself, first of all, if you are trying to comfort somebody with depression or you are depressed yourself, but you kind of forget this, you're never going to fix it. You're not going to fix somebody else who has depression. But yes, there are ways that you can support somebody while they're going through it. I know I hate when I feel like someone's trying to pep me up or trying to make me happy.
Oh, it drives me fucking nuts.
Because that's the worst thing. And how someone does that would be like, well, you just need to listen to some happy music. And I've been told you should just clean your room. That will make you feel so much better is if your room is clean and it looks nice. And yes, to a normal person who might be stressed and bogged down, cleaning up the room would give them a sense of accomplishment. It would have a clean space. It would be nice. And on a certain level, that would probably also be the same for a depressed person. But there's no energy to do that anyway.
No.
There's no, like, it's, but anyway. I regress. So yeah, don't try to, you know, prep somebody up. Don't try to fix it. But help me with a task. So if I have something that I need to do, like my dog should be walked today. I'm really depressed. I just need someone to be there with me while we go outside the door. Just getting in some outdoor clothes and going out the door is a big thing for me. That transition between a comfort space and a safe space into the next space can be hard.
So on a slight side note, how many times have you gone grocery shopping in your pajamas?
Lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite things when I am so fucking down. I'm like, nobody's going to know that these Batman speckled pajama pants are not regular sweatpants.
No one will. That was something my mom didn't understand, I think, was why does Lindsay always wear pajamas? Why is it Definitely not a fashion statement, although now I have gotten some very cool pajamas. It's just like a lack of being in touch with what really, I don't know, it's like you feel like you really understand what matters when you're depressed, it's none of this shit with clothing or fashion, let me tell you what.
No, the last thing I want to do is put some fucking styling product in my hair so that it's not a fucking wild alfalfa sprout of nonsense. No, I need to just go out with my bedhead, I need to make sure that if it is at all greasy, that I style it with the grease that it manifests.
Hot. And, it becomes like a science experiment.
Oh yeah, it's so good. But like, on top of that, I have to add in, going back to being comforted and people going with you on things. One of the worst things that somebody can do, for me especially, don't tell me my thoughts are wrong.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that the things that I'm thinking are not conducive to, like...
What would be an example of that?
Okay, say I open up to somebody and I tell them, I'm feeling really shitty. I'm feeling fat and I feel gross and I hate my body. The last thing I want to hear is, you're not fat. Be like, fuck you. Yes, I am. I know this. This is a fact. You can fuck off with your fake news bullshit. I am.
What would you want to hear?
Instead, just let me know that the thoughts I'm having are just those.
Yeah.
They are thoughts.
Yeah.
They may not be a manifestation of the reality as it is.
Yeah.
But they are definitely the reality I'm feeling.
And listen, your worth has nothing to do with your weight.
No.
What you look like.
No.
Your career. Mm-mm. That is not your worth as a person. Mm. And I think it's really hard to remember that you, your relationships, and the kinds of things you do for other people and your character and what you give. I mean, that is what makes you a good person.
Absolutely.
And who you are. And I think it's just being reminded that what helps me is when somebody reminds me of verbally of something good or some good memory they have of me helping them.
Yeah.
So I was feeling really low. And this girl, I went to a party. A bunch of people from high school were there. And this girl came up to me and she was like, Lindsay, I don't know if you remember this, but we were hanging out at McDonald's and you just turned to me and said, I had this great voice for cartoons. I was being loud and annoying. And you just looked right at me and told me I had this fantastic voice and I should do voiceovers. And I never did that, but I never forgot it. And I always thought of how wonderful and nice you were. And I was like, I don't A, remember that at all. B, it's so nice to know that I have positively impacted somebody else because I don't feel like I do. I feel like I'm a selfish, closed off, awkward, kind of embarrassing person. And that to be reminded that that's not who I am and that's not how I've affected you, that really helps me.
Absolutely, yeah. I kind of want to know who it was.
You don't know them.
I don't know them?
No.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it wasn't somebody in our direct friend group.
Wow, that's crazy. That's so good, though.
Yeah, it was just like this random person I barely remembered, and she just had this great memory. So that always helped me. When my friends would tell me, and my sister once told me, like, I know that you feel like you're not going to be happy ever. You will be. And listen, I got mad at her. Yeah. I was not happy hearing that because I was like, no, you don't understand. I will never. She said, Lindsay, I've had depression. I sometimes go through depression. This will pass. Right now you're feeling really awful and you can feel really awful, but don't forget that depression lies to you. And being reminded that and having some tough love like that was really good. And I didn't forget it. And then I came out.
And that sometimes just makes all the difference. Ultimately, someone going through depression wants to just know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel, is we may also just know that we're not alone. And that's...
But you don't feel it.
You don't feel it. No, like, hell no. You just...
deeply feel connected and cared for and, like, you're important and that you know, you don't feel that. That's gone.
Yeah, no, it's... you want that outside perspective.
Yeah.
Is what we crave so much. Yeah, it's just being able to know that, sure, these thoughts that I'm having may not be the thoughts that are real, or I may be lying to myself, or... worst of all, I may not be lying to myself and I'm just hammering home a point just to make it so fucking visceral and real that there's no coming out of it. But getting that outside perspective, hearing a fresh take on what exactly is going on right now means all the world. Means a world of difference. And it's insane.
I think, do you, when you're depressed, do you feel like you're somebody that people want to be, like, let me, how to word this. I don't feel like people want to be around me when I'm depressed. I feel like I'm not entertaining and I'm not somebody who people are going to want to be around. Do you feel that way?
I actually feel the exact opposite. This probably comes more from my extroversion than anything. When I am in my deep, dark, like fucking horrible thought kind of depressions, the first thing I want to be around is people.
But do you feel they want to be around you?
That's where it actually gets interesting. I always feel I'm at my funniest when I'm in my deepest depressions. I'm at my most outgoing. I can perform. The mask is on so fucking tight, it is now my face. That is what my depression, I should kind of give this a little asterisk sometimes, my sometimes depression manifests as, is this almost
over the
joyful love of, I am so fucking miserable right now, the first thing I want to do is make everybody else happy. I don't want anything to do with the thoughts and feelings that I'm having, and I just want to go out and I want to make it. If anything, it is an emotional kamikaze attack where I'm like, I'm going to just fucking bombard them with all the good feelings that I can't have. Take that, friends.
That's funny.
It's a good place to be. It's better than the alternative depression that I get where I do crawl into myself and just go, yeah, I'm gonna make sure that Postmates has KFC on speed dial real quick.
KFC, so good. I mean, speaking of KFC, feed somebody with depression.
Oh, yes.
Come over and make them not something garbagey, but like actual food, because I eat like such a garbage can. Like, I eat such bad food. I will eat just hot Cheetos and wine and chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. And I won't eat.
Another thing that, on that same note, once you've fed them, feed them again.
Yeah.
Don't just one and done it, because that's not what it is. Like, right now, a friend of mine has been going through a really, really rough time. And he will just check in with me. Like, I've told him to. Just, hey, I know you're feeling real shit right now. I want you to check in with me, like, once a week. Just let me know that everything's, you know, how you're handling things. And I'll check in with you, too.
I think it's hard to be... So, my best friend has depression as well, and sometimes we cycle our depressions together. And then sometimes she's depressed when I'm not. And we both deal with it in very different ways. But it can really feel, when you have a friend or a partner or a loved one, when they're depressed, that they're being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're being assholes. Because they can completely cut you out. They can stop texting you back. They won't get back to you in a timely manner, or they'll just drop the last conversation. Or you need to share something with them, and they're like, okay, I hear that, I'm sorry you're going through that, but then they don't do any follow-up. When you're depressed, it's so hard to be aware of time and other people's feelings and how you're affecting, and you don't want to hurt somebody else, but you have, well, for me anyway, I just have such a low energy, and everything's so oversensitized that I can't give as much, and I might give to the people who are in my immediate circle who I live with or mm-hmm. whatever, but it's very hard for me to reach out and be like, hey, I'm not doing okay.
Yeah.
At all. I did that once. I reached out to someone and said, hey, I'm actually, there's been very few times where I was suicidal, and I reached out to this person and I said I was, and I got slapped in the face for it. I was told I was being selfish for telling them that it wasn't their responsibility, that I should go to therapy for that. And I understand their point of view. But that's not the way to handle it if somebody tells you that they're depressed and suicidal?
Yeah, no. That is actually what has kept me, the few times that I have been suicidal, from reaching out to anybody outside of the requisite suicide hotline.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, there's the National Suicide Line. It's in the show notes.
Which we will have it in the show notes,
yes. Yep, we will have it in the show notes for you if you are suffering in any way, shape, or form from it to that point. There's always going to be somebody you can call and talk to. And sometimes it's just...
There's also text messaging now.
Yes, there's text messaging in chat rooms.
Yes, because for me, I don't like calling or talking to somebody on the phone necessarily, because sometimes I get anxious. So being able to text or do a chat room, that's sometimes far better and easier to manage.
There's also, of course, the subreddit that is, you know, just for suicide prevention, and there's people on there that are doing just amazing stuff every day. And
even if it's something where you feel like, look, I'm not going to actually commit suicide, but I just feel suicide. Like, I want to end this right now.
Yes.
Still reach out and get help in those ways, because you are worth love, and you are worth connection, and you are worth feeling better and being safe. You're worth that, and don't forget that. So if you need that, you do it.
Absolutely. There's no shame.
Yeah.
There's no judgment.
Yeah.
There is only a light to guide you out of that darkness.
Yeah.
If you need it. We were going to talk about also at some point. I do want to mention that the selfishness angle, we're doing an entire episode on that. So make sure that you come back for that. Because the idea of depression as selfishness, it's gained a real stranglehold on the community of people who go through this. Mm-hmm. It's invasive, because it's not just something that's an outside influence.
Yeah.
It is very much an internal thing. And we can vouch.
Yeah.
We both feel incredibly selfish for feeling the way we do.
And I would like to mention, because I know you guys don't know us, but we're both professionals. We're both very active in our friendship circles. We go to parties and we go to events and we do these like little things, you know, YouTube, whatever. So it's when we talk about our depression, we're not just people who are stuck in our little depression bubbles. We have a lot of people who've met us would never know.
No. And we make sure that they would never know. That's part of it also, is like the fact that we're doing this podcast is... We're just trying to make it so that it's more acceptable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, we should be able to talk about these things. It shouldn't be met with a weird sort of, like, leper colony-esque vibe. But that's unfortunately what a lot of folks go through.
Yeah. So we're here to comfort you right now if you are depressed. We are giving you hugs. We are telling you that you are not wrong.
Yes, and
you are not wasting your life.
You're definitely not wasting your life. That is 100% true.
I think it's difficult to know. Look, nobody knows what the purpose of life is. And when you're depressed, you're like, what's even the point? We're all just going to end up dying anyway. And actually, so something that's helped me is reading the dying or elderly... their regrets, because it puts things in perspective for me, and to realize what's really important, because what's important to you is what your life meaning is. That's why I like to think of it.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
You know,
you find yourself when you are in that position of being suicidal and feeling like dying so strongly, if you don't go through with it, or you don't make the attempt, you do find something that brings you back. There's some reason, something that holds you here to this world and not to the depths of the void. Like, for me, it is honestly so single-minded in purpose after a while, where I just needed to see what tomorrow brought.
Yeah.
Curiosity. That is the most basic thing that keeps me going on a daily basis is curiosity. And that drive for, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Sure, it could be shit. It could be amazing.
It could be a new puppy. It could be the announcement of your favorite video game. It could be the love of your life.
Yeah.
It could be an amazing opportunity for employment. You just never know. Or it could just be a nice day with small pleasures.
Yeah. It could very well be any or all of these things. The point is, keep going. You got this. And everything's going to eventually turn out okay. Even if it doesn't feel like it.
And I know that sometimes you can feel like you're irrevocably damaged, that you're not lovable, but that's not the case. And we just wanted to remind you of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for this week in Feel Good, I would like to recommend the band Ninja Sex Party. That's not exactly the most straightforward thing to say. The band Ninja Sex Party, specifically their new song, Danny Don't You Know, off of the new album coming out, I believe in August, I'm not sure. The video's up, it's got Finn Wolfhard, which is pretty cool. We want to thank Nick K for the song Dead on Arrival as our intro and outro music, and Sonata S for our awesome artwork. You can follow them on the links in the show notes. As for us, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Heyu Podcast, all one word. Like our Facebook, and if you want to send us something directly, go ahead and email mailbag@howareyouholdingup.com.
So thank you so much for listening. And as always,
don't tell us to just get over it.